You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
It's always darkest before the dawn, but the dawn is coming, except if it's zero, which in this case, I guess it doesn't come at all, because this is perpetual darkness and sadness.
Yeah, there's no dawn at all. Yeah. You just see blank horizon, which I guess if it's dark, you don't see the horizon.
You don't see it at all, yeah.
This title makes no sense.
It's a weird title.
A bad one.
The title is not great. I'll agree with that. Probably the weakest thing about the game overall. But in terms of everything else it does pretty well.
I'm very much surprised at how much it's hitting a lot of things for me.
Yeah.
Where I just need to go back to beat all these side missions and play these random quests, raid bandit camps.
Oh, man.
It's got me. It's really
no, same, man. And it's something that I'm constantly thinking about and that I want to go back to. But for those that don't know, we are talking about Horizon Zero Dawn on We Are Error Reviews. And
wait, is this one of us.net's premier video game podcast?
Review video game podcast show. Oh. that's the main show, John, as we all know. This is the error part. This is the error part of the show. This is what it has to do. But yes, we are reviewing Horizon Zero Dawn, Guerrilla Games' first game that isn't Killzone. Thank God.
Thank God. I think I can see, I can feel the developers at Guerrilla going, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a critical commercial success. We don't have to do that series anymore.
That's another thing. I feel like them having some success with this game will make it easier for them to go to Sony. Can we do another one?
Yeah.
Can we do something like this again? Because I feel like they got stuck doing Killzone.
They did.
Whereas at first it was marketed as this dumb Halo killer, which never became.
Nope.
Call of Duty actually kind of became that, which is weird.
Yeah, later on it did.
Yeah. Then Killzone 2, looks really pretty. A visual showcase for what the PS3 could do. But just a fine first-person shooter. Yeah. It's nothing
special. It's competent
special.
At best.
And I feel like after that they were like, okay, can we do something else? Mm-hmm. Whereas was there Killzone 3 or was that Shadowfall?
Killzone 3, and then there was Killzone Shadowfall.
And then also Killzone Liberation? Mercenaries?
Mercenaries, which was Guerrilla Cambridge, which is actually, it's probably the best Killzone game. Yeah, it's one of the best first party Vita games, yeah. But again, thankfully they did Horizon Zero Dawn, which I'll say right now, I think is one of the best games. It's early yet, but I think it's one of the best games of the year. And it's for all those things you said where it's hitting me in all those right spots where I want to just constantly keep playing. I want to hunt more creatures. I want to, raid these bandit camps. I want to collect more resources. Oh, there's so many resources to collect. I love that. But, if we want to get into the story to a certain extent where it kind of takes place in this post-apocalyptic environment where humanity is kind of devolved into a Stone Age society. But instead of just hunting creatures and things like that, there's these massive machines that now kind of are all across the globe in all these areas. And they're from kind of horse-like robots to something different types of predators to even dinosaur-sized things and giant birds. And they're a constant threat to you. Although the game kind of explores where, for whatever reason, all these creatures are becoming more aggressive and they're killing so many people. And all these people are kind of in these separate tribes and they're kind of trying to fight and continue on with their survival.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the most interesting aspects about the game is, and I don't want to say this up front. I don't really want to dive into spoilers at all.
It's spoiler free.
Because I think a lot of the fun of this game is kind of wondering what is going on?
It's the discovery of the game.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
This is very Stone Age, where there's obviously some futuristic stuff going on.
Yeah,
and you learn that very early on, where she gets a focus?
Yeah, the character Aloy.
Aloy.
Which, here's the thing, because everything's made of metal. Her name is Aloy.
Yeah, Aloy. Which is kind of like Aloy.
It is like Aloy, yeah. She's raised by Rost,
which is kind of like Rust.
It's kind of like Rust. Get it? Ah, Guerrilla Games, you're so clever.
You're so smart.
But yeah, that's the character you play as a game. And yeah, she discovers this technology as a little girl. Previously, she was abandoned for some reason by her tribe, the Nord. We don't know why. But yeah, she discovers this piece of technology, which you just said, which is the focus.
And that was a very early surprise. And I think that's really it's not a spoiler because it happens in the tutorial, second mission, I think.
Great tutorial, by the way, because it doesn't feel like a tutorial.
Yeah, it's just you kind of getting taught by Rost.
Rost. Bearded man who takes care of me, who's not my father. follow.
Okay.
See, that's another thing. It's just like this. This is going to be the year of dads because God of War comes out, right?
Yeah. Year of nice dads.
He very much reminded
Stern,
me of
but
that.
Nice.
He does feel very warm. And that was another thing. It's just the way the game starts off with him just like walking with you or whatever.
As a baby. As a baby. Because you're abandoned as a baby.
And the game just throws you at this without explaining kind of anything about what's going on. It's like, it makes you want to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. It shows you. It doesn't tell you.
Yeah. And it's your job to go like, figure it out mm-hmm. in a way. But back to the focus, I think that's a very early thing that you were introduced to and is your first like sort of hint that this is way in the future somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it's post-apocalyptic, but this is an advanced. We got to a point in humanity where it was very advanced and then something obviously happened. And because we're using sticks and stones and like some advanced technology to a certain extent, all of our weapons are made of like hyper advanced or like very technologically advanced, like metal substances and things like that. But it's still set in that, like, it could be thousands of years ago. Still feels like that.
Did you look at any gameplay videos before you bought this?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. I hadn't seen anything.
Oh, okay.
Other than that initial reveal at E3.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's the only time I had seen it. And so, like, I think she's fighting like a big Stegosaurus or something.
Or Tyrannosaurus. Yeah, yeah.
And so when the focus shows up, I was like, is this an Assassin's Creed game that I'm playing?
You're using your Eagle Vision
or something?
Yeah.
And then it started, like, that's when I started really getting into it. Cause I was like, Assassin's Creed is my fucking jam.
Yeah.
Like, I love that series and a lot of elements about that series. When it's good, yeah. Two, the whole 2 franchise.
Sure.
Really good. 4
Black Flag's
is
awesome.
Also good, but like, I just was tainted on it by then.
Sure. No, I understand.
And Edward, I don't like him very much.
Nah, he's great.
But like, Horizon Zero Dawn starts to feel a lot like Assassin's Creed in that way.
Yeah.
Just in this mixture of the past in the present and the future and this, you want to understand what's going on.
Here's the thing. It is like Assassin's Creed, except it does it better than Assassin's Creed when it comes to that storytelling, where the thing I always hate about Assassin's Creed's story is that the present day stuff and the past stuff never meshes up for me. It never did. It always felt awkward and I hated everything else happened in the present. Whereas of Horizon Zero Dawn, it feels like a really nice amalgamation of things. One, because you're not following 2 different characters. You're just following one character and her interaction with kind of both worlds, how both worlds have fallen in on themselves, and you're just kind of left at this really just incredible environment to explore in terms of its narrative and in terms of just the world itself.
I think you're right.
Its environment.
In that sense, that's where Assassin's Creed kind of fails. For me, when I play Assassin's Creed, I really like the gameplay and the characters that happen in the past.
Yeah,
but I've always been much more interested in what's going on in the future. Mm. They just don't ever tell it very well, whereas Horizon Zero Dawn, because it can focus on one character, who I do like Aloy a lot. It's a strong female character who seems to like, she's very much at the beginning, I wrote this down in my notes, that she's kind of portrayed as like a Disney princess-esque in the way that like, in this kind of way that a Disney character gets shunned at the beginning for just being some weird sort of outsider, but not really an outsider. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt, I started to just like her out of that character trait. It felt very Disney-esque.
You feel sorry for her, and that creates a relationship. You feel engendered towards her, which I think is really good. That's good storytelling, good character building that Guerrilla is doing.
And they add this extra element to the game where conversations kind of take place. There are instances where you can make split decisions, and
there's dialogue.
And it doesn't happen very often, but it happens often enough to where it's like, this is how my Aloy would act. Like, this is how I want her to be portrayed. A smart thinker. And doesn't, because that's usually the choice I chose. Mm-hmm. I didn't very often choose the aggressive or the compassionate thing. I was like, no, what's going to outsmart that person? Because that's how I show that I'm better than them.
See, here's the thing, because I chose the what was the option? The brain option again?
Like wit.
Wit.
Yeah.
I always chose that because that just felt like it made sense for the character, because that's how she was raised. Whereas all these other things, it just didn't feel necessary, like the compassionate option and then the aggressive option. It's like, I just don't think the game needed a dialogue wheel or something. Like, you can, like, maybe like a dialogue wheel where you can explore, like, oh, the when you're looking for more information, but like this morality system, that just didn't make much sense to me.
I think it felt weird.
It's like, but Aloy seems to be already her own character.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with Shepard, like in Mass Effect, it's a blank slate that I create over time. Where her, she's like, no, she's very much herself. You know, she doesn't need me to dictate what she's going to say.
That was one of my complaints about the
game.
It's limited and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Very unnecessary. But I think it is just a nice, fun little touch. And yeah, maybe I end up choosing that wit thing the whole time because I do feel like that's how Aloy would act. Mm. But I think there's an instance in the game where someone kind of hits on you. And that's when I chose the aggressive thing because I was like, back the fuck up. That's what she would like, because she's so focused on accomplishing her goals.
Yeah.
That like someone coming onto her at a very inopportune time, she'd be like, back up. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's very attractive. I think I'd give her that.
Okay. So let me get into an issue of mine.
Yeah. I don't, no creepy stuff, but you know, she looks
like Chucky the doll when she's a kid.
Okay.
She's got a ginormous head for some weird reason.
Well, the hair. She's a lot of hair and that kind of makes the face bigger overall. She's got an 80s hair. You know, everything was big and poofy and curls. One of my other complaints about the game is that it does have the facial animations aren't the best, and the eyes especially, where kind of the eyes are going off in all different directions when you're having a conversation with somebody, and it feels a little uncanny valley. And I looked this up. Apparently, it's a new graphics engine that Guerrilla Games actually created called the Decima engine, and it was used in a game which I had the same problem with. And this game I liked. Until Dawn, where those characters had kind of awkward facial animations and their eyes are going off in weird directions. So I'm thinking they got to fix that, you know, within the engine itself, because that kind of took me out of the conversations that I had with these characters. And not all the time. Like, the ones that really stand out to me are like when she's talking with Ross in the beginning. Like, maybe it's not so close up. Maybe it's like a middle shot or whatever, or even close up. If for whatever reason, it just didn't work with some of the like NPC characters. Like, something's not right here. Whereas with the main NPC characters, I felt it worked fine. So it was kind of a mixed bag in that case.
Huh. I didn't really notice shifty eyes too much.
Yeah.
But I did notice some like miss syncing with the lip.
Yeah, movement. There was a lot of that.
That was something that really bothered me. Something interesting to what you said is, and maybe this is Guerrilla having a lot of pride in the thing they produce, because the game is gorgeous.
Don't
get me wrong.
When it opens up and you just see, like, when Rost has the baby Aloy with him, and you just see all these creatures walking through this valley, it's just like, oh my god, this game is gorgeous. And, like, this mist and flowers and trees, beautiful.
The game does a lot of close-ups.
Yeah, it does.
And it kind of took me aback initially, because the camera is very much on her back. It's very close to me. And it just...
It's like Last of Us.
Yeah, it took me a while to just really get accustomed to it, because there were often times where I felt it was just a little too close.
It kind of, maybe like something like Tomb Raider kind of struck that perfect balance, where it's like, I'm not too close to Laura, but just enough.
Yeah.
Where, I get
what you're saying. But you are right. There are instances in the character, like, interactions where the camera is, like, right up in their face.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, back it up a little bit. You did make a pretty game.
You can see the wires. You can see the wires.
See, that's the thing.
In the conversations.
Well, that's, I think there's a lot of instances in this game where I can see some seams. And never enough to bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in a sense of, like, you tried a lot. Like, you tried a lot of different things and different mechanics that you hadn't done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and this game is kind of a showcase for what the PS4 can do, I think.
Yeah.
I've heard some really good things for people who have the Pro and tried it in HDR.
It's in 4K, right?
Yeah. Which I bet looks stunning.
I'm sure.
Because this game has a variety of environments. But things with, like the lip missyncing or... I don't know, the hair, sometimes it would just fly everywhere.
Hair's always been hard in video games.
Yeah, which I understand. There are just certain elements like that. I think when you're climbing, that just doesn't feel as good as Assassin's Creed. It's like they took the skeleton, but didn't really put in all the organs.
Yeah.
The way they color, like, the strips, it became very hard for me to tell sometimes. Especially there's a part in the game where, like, some big giant robot is shooting stuff at you. You're trying to escape a camp. and you have to climb your way out. And yeah. It's like, I died like three times because it was like, wait, is it the white that I'm supposed to be looking at now? And the white doesn't stick out very well with the color palette. So it was just kind of like a small little detail that I, like, someone like Ubisoft had figured out.
Yeah. Already. Well, they made so much stuff in Assassin's Creed climbable, whereas in Horizon Zero Dawn, only certain things are climbable. You know, those things are, that are marked in yellow or whatever other color. And yeah, the climbing, it was fine for what it was doing, but it wasn't where I kept come to expect in a lot of these kind of open world games. Like even Uncharted, where you're able to, even though they have that color section, it felt more natural. Where here, it's like, there's a little awkwardness in regards to that. But other than that, you know, part of the gameplay, I thought most of the gameplay in the game, especially like the combat, was excellent because of how diverse it was and how it constantly, it doesn't frustrate you, but it challenges you. Yeah. Where you use a bow and arrow in the game, and that's your main weapon. However, in order to continue to succeed, you have to use everything at your disposal. So I think there are like some of the weapons that you use are like a sling caster, which like fires like elemental bombs.
There's a trip caster.
There's a trip caster, which you can place down like ropes.
Two different ropes that like, or two ends of a rope, so you can like shock someone
or explode enemies.
Then
there's also something else,
a rattler, which is kind of like this rapid fire 5-burst sort of shotgun esque close range.
Yeah. And then of course you also have your melee combat, which is your spear, and you know, which is
that's another scene that is, I would hit enemies, and it's fine that they like. This game is kind of hard sometimes.
It is a hard game.
When you do not give in to the way it wants you to play, because it does, there's a way you're supposed to be playing this. You're supposed to be
using everything.
Further away, using everything and kind of planning out things. You cannot brute force your way through this.
No, you can't.
Because
you'll die.
She is very underpowered in terms of physical combat.
Your health goes down. These enemies are powerful.
And like, I got hit twice with a punch and I was just dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like level 20.
Mm-hmm.
But in the physical combat, I would like swing my sword and it would hit them once and I'd keep swinging it, but it would make the sound as if I was hitting them. But I think it was just like they were in this sort of fallback state. So I was hitting through them and hitting the rocks behind them because they were not losing health.
I mostly use the melee weapon only for those stealth sections. Cause that's one of my favorite things about the game is the stealth combat is so damn good. And where, you can use a sneak attack on an enemy using your spear and you can progressively get more powerful, you know, over I'm using a fantastic skill tree, which kind of has different sections in terms of like prowler, which is your stealth abilities, your foraging and kind of like resource gathering abilities. And then you have also your, regular weapon kind of.
It's funny. I put most of my early stuff into like foraging and stuff, which I think in these kind of games, you know, I think in action games, I typically do, when I see trees, I typically go for, I want to hit harder.
Yeah.
And this game, like very early on, learning that, oh shit, I'm gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
That I figured out what I needed. Now, speaking on that foraging, that's another bugaboo that I have is the markers for what you're seeing are sometimes a little unclear. Why is a rock the same symbol as medicine? There were so many times where I was low on health or low on medicine where I was like running. I was like, okay, there's some medicine. It's a fucking rock. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's some medicine over there. That's a fire root. I don't need that. I need medicine. And like how it's so easy to just have changed that plant to a medicine symbol.
A different color or a different color.
Yeah. Or a different color. Cause they do that for like what's rare and what's, you know, which is another cool thing about scavenging, like the enemies you beat.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, going into these enemy battles is something you need to actually think about because there are so many times where I went into enemy battles. It was like, yeah, I want to fight something. It would die instantly. But yeah, back to that, the way that UI in kind of symbolizing what should be medicine, that is such a small, minute detail that kept this game from being like, this is everything that I want. It was just these small little frustrations that kept kind of taking me aback. It's like, I wish this wasn't a thing. I wish it was a little more easy. Again, the fast travel was something that really bothered me. I don't think the game doesn't explain to you or show you the fact that there's a golden fast travel pack that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I found it kind of by accident, thankfully very early on. And I next spent the next like 2 hours looking for the elements because it kind of took a while for me to find a fox skin or a fox. Cause I was like in the rock zone. But like before that, it's just, to see that my mission is 3,000 feet away and there's barely any way for me to get across there other than hold sprint for like 20 minutes. That was just a very early frustration. And I do understand that you can override these striders, I think they're called.
Mm-hmm.
But one, that element.
Which are horses, basically.
Yeah, which are horses. But that element doesn't open up until maybe the second hour, maybe.
No, I think, yeah, it's the second hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, you still have to run like 1,000 steps, like twice before that. You don't always see many striders. I see a lot of watchers or maybe like snapjaws, which are these things that dig into the ground, the snapjaws. And the watchers are kind of like the lowest level kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would also see
they're like an alarm system.
Yeah, they're alarm system. I would see a bunch of broadsides or whatever, the ones that are like rams or
there's
cattle.
Also grazers as well, which are these kind of deer type creatures.
And so I would see a lot of those. But when I needed to get across, it's like, okay, I either just start trucking and hope I run into a strider site or go out and find a strider site at some point. And even then, it's just kind of like still slow.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so slow, especially there were so many times where I'm on the furthest west side of the map and my mission takes me up to the most northeast part. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
Well, and thankfully, I got the golden fast travel pack because once that opens, it's like, okay, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
But like before that, to run 3,000 steps is kind of just a small bugaboo.
Sure.
That really just kind of takes
me
out.
I think initially why they have that is just for you to explore the environment, to showcase the world itself. They want you to see every inch of it. And yeah, maybe players don't necessarily want to do that, but I kind of got what they were going for in regards to that. And I had made – I'm such a hoarder in these video games where I collect so many resources. That I created like 20 fast travel packs. I was like, okay, I'm good. And I just did that because I had collected so much. And I like the fact that – the resources kind of come into not only currency system in the game, but also upgrading yourself. It's very Far Cry-esque, which I really love about that.
It was scratching that itch. Yeah. They took a lot from Ubisoft games.
They did.
The best elements still of some of best. My favorite Ubisoft games.
Yeah.
I could feel myself falling back into that cycle that I got into with Fallout or Far Cry 4, but very particularly Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
Where I would just like raid bandit camps because it's so fun to really kind of I talk about this in our main episode that should be coming out soon, where I'm gonna raid a bandit camp and like slowly try and pick off everybody, disarm the alarm, save the prisoners, and then like I did it.
Yeah,
like it very very much scratched that itch. And then when I discovered, oh wait, because I ran into a lot of resource issues where my backpack wasn't big enough, and the game doesn't explicitly tell you this, like it doesn't point this is what you can do. But it has a crafting thing, and I finally dug into there. I was like, I can build a bigger pack. Oh, my gosh. This is Far Cry. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm about to lose a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. The game is actually fairly long. I think, like, the main mission itself is, like, 15 hours. But with all the other side content and collectibles in the game and exploring different maps, the bandit camps, comes out to being, I think, like a 40, 45-hour experience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of bang for your buck. And it's worth it, in my opinion. I just want to touch on, like, kind of the side quests. A lot of the side quests kind of feel like main missions to a certain extent. Like one of the initial side quests has you kind of going to this war chief whose daughter you had previously met. Something happened to her daughter. You go there to kind of, not so much fix the situation, but like assist the tribe of something. And I didn't realize that that's just a side mission. I didn't have to play at all. But it felt like part of the main story so much.
Is that Varl or Vasa?
It's the black one.
The black one who's very nice to you at the beginning?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Not Bost, who's like, who talks in the third person.
God, he's...
He sucks.
When he did that, Bost is going to sleep, whatever it's the like, fuck he says.
Okay.
Hey, Bost. Bost will be fine.
Yeah, some of the voice acting. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say about that girl. There were instances where that one particular character, she stuck out to me the most.
Yeah.
Where it felt like there were two different actresses, or she was definitely in the studio at two very different times in two very different moods because it just sounded like two different people. And again, that's just like a very small detail.
What do you mean?
That opening scene before you go to the proving.
The daughter?
Talking about the daughter. She's lying.
The mother is a different character.
Yeah, she's lying on the bed and like talking to you very sweet, but the voice sounds like very much a different person than the one outside the cutscene.
Oh, okay.
And it was just very small detail. I was like, you didn't nail that. And
I got that with some characters, not with that particular character.
Okay, I got it with that particular one. And sometimes I get it with others. It's just an element of where it's like, I can see the seams.
Yeah.
But, which again is like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I was comparing it a lot to, I tried to get my mind right and be like, how did I feel about Assassin's Creed 1? because this is very much the first thing of something that like that Guerrilla Games can continue on.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily in this franchise, but like this kind of game in to really see where Guerrilla can go in the future.
Yeah.
So thinking about where this game compares to Assassin's Creed's franchise, it very much feels like as if, you know, Assassin's Creed had started off with the second one. And like to think about where it could go from there has me so excited.
Yeah.
Because this is scratching all the itches that, you know, I'm just a very I'm a quiet fan of, I think, Far Cry and Assassin's Creed in a sense, because I don't really talk about them very much. But they are some of my favorite experiences that I lose hours in, especially like Far Cry side missions and Assassin's Creed mixture of this past and present, which is just a very particular itch that I have.
Sure.
But I found it grabbing both of those elements of what I love about those games. And I just like, as we keep talking about it and as we were recording our other show, I just kind of kept thinking about this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I told you what my score was going to be at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like I told you like this is what I've nailed it down as.
Yeah, if you want to go into your final thoughts.
Yeah. So initially, actually when I started the game, I was like, oh, this is an 8, an 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
I can see these seams and like this is very much a first pass. But I keep teetering just like as we're talking about it and as I'm really thinking about the side missions. And, you know, we did, you know, not talk too much on the main story because we don't want to spoil anything. Yeah. But I think it is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do handle this futuristic element much better than Assassin's Creed does. Yeah.
And it's unique. It feels very different from other types of post-apocalyptic games.
Wally-esque, too. Again, a call to Disney. And there's something about it that feels so creative and energetic and and fun. It's just straight up fun, like a Far Cry game or Assassin's Creed game. And I do want to say 8.5 because it's very much a first pass and I want to leave them room to grow, but my heart keeps telling me 9.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess either one of those, like it was sort of in the sense of which I thought about Resident Evil 7. Mm-hmm. Is where I don't actually remember what I gave that review because let's be honest, numbers or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at this point, it's just like, change.
Especially like they start changing as you see what other games are coming out.
Exactly.
Because when I was reviewing like Resident Evil or Outlast in particular, it was like, these are like 9. Like Resident Evil is like a 9, but I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not my type of game.
Exactly.
And so I want to put it back in the 8 section. This is the exact opposite where it feels more like an 8.5 where it's like, just because it has room to grow, but I feel like this is a 9, I don't know, watcher lenses out of 10. Like, it's scratching everything I want to do, and I just really want to dive back into it. It is my favorite game so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at what's going to come out next, it's probably going to stay that way for a while, unless I really love Andromeda, but that's more your thing than my thing. And I just... it took me by surprise that one, this game would come out so early, 2017, for all the shitty things that are going on elsewhere. Video games are having a good ass year right now.
It has been,
and it's only looking brighter.
Games. Yeah.
So yeah, unless I really fall in love with Zelda, I think this is going to be my game of the first half of the year, honestly, unless something else really takes me by surprise. So yeah, I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 watcher lenses. Or focuses. Something.
Yeah.
Something.
One of those fake sci-fi thing, technology things. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed the game. I'm right there with you. It does have problems. The game has some growing pains, but this is, you know, Guerrilla Games.
That's a good word.
This is Guerrilla Games' first, you know, foray into different genre, you know, different type of game. It's not a first person shooter, you know, action game. This is very much an open world RPG action game. And I really liked it for that. They were different in terms of their storytelling. Their world building was fantastic. I love the different kind of cultures they were exploring. These amalgamations of different cultures from around the world coming together, like the Nor, which is like a matriarchal society. Then you have the Karja, which is a very male dominated society, very religious society. Then you have like the Oseram. Thank you. Yeah.
Asian society.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminded me a little Mongolian to a certain extent. And they're kind of like mercenaries, or they're well known for their crafting.
They're very much about this emperor, this in like sun gods.
Well, that's part of the Karja.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. But But
that is another thing. I did kind of get some of the words confused, like, especially during the missions with Erend and Ursa.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, wait, so the Meridians and the Osirim are two different people, but they live under the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just...
They explain that. I mean, I really like the history that they're talking about and where they're kind of leaving a lot of things open, which I imagine is for, for other games in the future. But even what they introduced now, it's like, it kept me interested. So I loved it for that. Aloy's a fantastic character. The voice actress is Ashley Birch, I believe. She's
Hey, Ash, what you doing?
Yes, that is her. And of course, she's probably best known for voicing Tiny Tina in Borderlands 2.
Never played it.
Sorry. Oh, it's really good. Yeah, she's great in it. But it is. She is from Hey Ash, What You're Doing. She's fantastic. What are you gonna do?
I was gonna say it's What You're Doing.
What You're Doing?
Yeah.
Whatever.
What are you doing?
I was close. What you are class. You doing? I'm sorry. I was speaking correctly.
You have much better. You don't use
diction.
Slang as much
my
as
diction.
It's funny. Like you. This is completely off topic. Like, yeah. You answered the phone. And you're like, this is Christopher Herrmann. And I like
the reason why I said that because I didn't recognize the number.
Well, every time. Yeah. I just answered them, yeah.
So I was told not to do that at an early age.
They call in me. You must know who I am. Mm-hmm. What?
See, I was told never say what, because I did that once. My parents scolded me so bad. You always be respectful when you answer the phone, either with your name
or with hello. They're intruding my time.
That's what they tell me. That's a Northeastern thing, I guess. We're polite when we're on the phone, just not in person. but yeah, I mean, really why I was so addicted to the game was, I mean, for its gameplay. It's just so awesome. Yeah. It's so many different options, whether it comes to the stealth bow and arrow stuff or incorporating the different traps or like slingshots or elemental stuff. Loved it. I really liked the enemy design. Every machine felt different from each other, and where I was able to recognize them, like, oh, I know exactly what this kind of machine does. I know that it's very aggressive. Oh, I know that this one I can track easily because it's grazing for whatever reason. I can set up traps. I can push them into a specific location, a center point, and I can kill them all very quickly. I love that stuff.
I got to speak on that real
quick. Go ahead.
Talking about striders.
Yeah.
They are very much a herd animal. And just like noticing that the AI really took that into account. Yeah. Like, that's really smart. Because especially when you take one over, the rest are like pissed because they can feel it. And if you get one of them isolated a couple times, like it would just run away.
Yep.
Because they'd be like, no, my friends are over there. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to mess with you. And it was like, that's so smart and so subtle.
The AI, yeah, you have kind of like herbivores, like which are like the striders, scavengers, and then you also have the predators, you know, which I love that. And you're able to tell eventually which one's which. And I think that was really, really smart. I think there's like over like 20 of them too, which is very, you know, a lot of variations. Creative. Yeah, absolutely. And then of course, yeah, the upgrade system. I love the skill tree. If you upgrade, I think the highest level you can get is like 50 and you can get all of the skills. And I'm like, I'm so close. I can't wait to get them all. I didn't mind so much the kind of the currency system and how like constantly foraging for certain things. I will agree with you. You made a great point of how certain things, a different symbol or different color.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point, but I like that. Again, it's my hoarding mentality with video games. So overall, I think this is a really, incredible game that Guerrilla Games has created. I'm interested to see that they kind of address these criticisms for it, and they can create even a better sequel in the years to come. So yeah, for me, I'm kind of right there with you. I'd probably give it 9 out of 10 arrowheads.
And are you going to take that to the knee too?
Stupid joke. No, it's a good joke.
For boss to get some sleep.